Welcome. Episode, maybe we call this the real, Cody wouldn't like that though, but the real episode number one.
Who cares what Cody thinks?
So, I guess we just introduce ourselves. I'm Bill, Serena, and I have six kids. I guess that's the most outstanding thing about me. I'm a physical therapist, and
I am Brian Serena, and we've got two kids, and I am a chiropractor. Both been doing our professions for 25-ish years.
Yep. So, coming together tonight, just wanted to jump in. We have Josh here with us as well. Josh is my oldest and our producer of this podcast. So we're just looking to give people. Brian and I have had a lot of discussions over the years on a lot of topics,
multiple things.
So
sometimes not so agreeable.
Not always agreeable. But it's true. You'll get multiple perspectives. So we're just going to have a conversation about a couple things tonight, and we just want to take a dive into the culture, Christianity, maybe some conspiracy theories.
Some health stuff.
So, our first episode, we talked a little bit about the Olympic opening ceremonies, just kind of some of the controversy surround and how as Christians we should dive into that, how we should look at it. Should we be outraged? Kind of took the perspective that as Christians, Christ would desire, number one, that people are drawn to him. So what's the best response from us that does that? So... So as we jump in tonight, I guess we'll get right into it here then. So one of the first things that we want to look at is, let's look at some of the... Did you have any thoughts on the opening ceremonies, Brian?
So my biggest thing, I guess, I do think that as Christians, we have a right to... I don't even want to say be offended. I did not agree with that. I didn't think that it was a good thing. It's definitely not something that we should be promoting or being accepting of. Clearly when you're not a Christian, that's you're not going to think about those things in a manner that is God honoring. So that clearly wasn't. And I think it's okay. You know, I wouldn't say that I am boycotting. I haven't watched a ton of the Olympics, but I wouldn't say that I'm boycotting the Olympics because of that. It's just, it clearly was something that's just the way the world is. And, you know, people choose to boycott Target because of things, but well, the people at Target, that's how they make their living. And that's, you know, one of the arguments that I heard is, well, the people at the Olympics, they have trained so hard, and so they're, you know, that's what they're doing, and it isn't about them. Well, same thing with Target. I don't really do a whole lot of the boycotting stuff, but I don't think that it's right or wrong either way, whether you choose to do that or not.
I mean, I think there's always been this, like, and I kind of mentioned it the first podcast, like this tension in particularly in the theatrical world between Christianity and the theater, honestly. And I love the theater. My nephew, shout out to Troy, is deeply involved in theater and is a great actor, singer, musician. And so, but I do think the reality is like there's a tension.
Yeah.
Between theater in particular and maybe religion in general, particularly Christianity, I think. Mm-hmm. So We were just seeing that sort of on display, particularly in France, where there's like this real tension between religion and it's just really a secular society. So I don't know. I guess I just wasn't all that surprised by what we saw.
Yeah. The only thing you're typically not going to see those kinds of blasphemous representations of any other
true
deity.
Well, I think there's a reason behind that. Yeah. I think because there is a general perception that when you make fun of Christians or, you know, mock them, they'll get offended. They might get mad, but there's not going to be a violent uprising. And yeah. I do think had it been other religion that was mocked, that I think in France in particular, there's kind of a fear that there would have been some violent outburst, because they've had that in France. And so I do think that sometimes Christians become an easy target because of that, because oftentimes, I'm not going to say there's never been a violent response to some kind of mockery or whatever, but I think it's not the general general response. So in other Olympic news, sidebar, so apparently, I don't know, is there some kind of advantage or, you know, streamlining? Have you watched any of the swimming or diving?
I have not really watched anything, but I've heard. And I mean, I guess they're just trying to get back to the original Olympics where everybody performed naked.
We're partway there. I mean, I have not seen so many butt cheeks walking around in, I mean, I don't know. We were at the beach like not long ago, and I feel like that's kind of commonplace now. Let your butt hang out.
Yeah. And, hey, like I said, that's the way the Olympics started out. I guess that's just...
We're working our way.
Going back to the roots.
What are we at? 2024, so 28. Probably by 32, they'll be completely nude.
Yeah, you know. So
that's wild.
The athletic advantage, I guess.
Yes, smaller splashes when you enter the water from diving, I guess. I don't know. So in other Olympic news, this is kind of, we want to hit on a few topics tonight. One that was kind of in the news today, I guess, was where were they from?
Austria. It was Italy?
No. Italy was the girl that bowed out after 46 seconds.
Okay.
So she's in Olympic boxing, women's boxing, and 46 seconds in, she takes a punch and she calls her coach and they call off the match. She forfeits the match or gives up at that point, apparently because of the force of the blow that she took to the head. Algeria, I believe, is where the other boxer was from.
The man.
So chromosomally, whether it's XXY or if it's just XY, I'm not sure where that person stood, but there was clearly more testosterone in this person. I think, you know, I'm kind of surprised personally that the Olympic committee let something like that go on.
I thought they had made it to where you had to be, your biologically born sex was the sex that you competed as.
Yeah.
I thought that was the rule, but apparently not.
Yeah.
If
the person was truly intersex
and
they did have, you know, XXY or something along those lines, then you've got to have a level of testosterone that's appropriate for that match. Well, but
and I think, you know, when you get into those truly genetic differences like that, where if it is XXY, then there are things that people just can't do, and competing
or create a separate
category. Yes, that's the thing. Like, you because there's going to be those advantages. If you're XXY, there's going to be disadvantages as a male, but advantages as a female, physically wise, typically.
Otherwise, so, why did we have men's and women's sports?
Right.
Why don't we just have one category?
Right.
And everybody competes together. And, well, it's because men have more muscle mass. And so they compete against each other. And women compete against each other.
And it is sad for that woman that had trained that long. And that's really where the issue comes down to. If you want to be for women's rights and you're all about women, but then you can't define it, and you put men that say that they're women into the women's category, and then men beat the women, are you really standing up for women? You know, it's really your thought process has to be all over the place in order for that to make sense.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. So on a sort of positive Olympic note, did you see or at least see the final play of the women's rugby?
I did. Team? That was.
I wish I understood rugby.
I know. I've never understood it. I had somebody trying to explain it to me the other day. They were like, so you can only fall and the ball go backward. I don't even know.
They got to lay on you, put the ball between a teammate's legs, and they throw you up in the air when you throw the ball. It's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy football. There's some hard hitting. There's speed. It's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
I also wonder, like, because when they go into the
scrum.
No. That's a rugby word, though.
It is a rugby word. I know what I'm talking about.
When they go into the try zone.
Nope. I might be
right on that. Somebody Googled it. So when they go into the try zone, they have to touch the ball down.
Okay.
To the ground.
See, I've seen them dive. And I was like,
to touch the ball.
They like
down.
Celebrate every time they go into the end zone. But that must be it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're touching. So I wondered, is that where we get the term for American football of touchdown with rugby?
Could
Maybe.
Be.
It's probably Googleable.
Probably.
So.
Probably not going to take that time.
But
right
it was
now
cool.
Either.
It was literally like time expired as the girl, like, shed these tacklers, and she's out sprinted everybody to the end zone. And
that was pretty impressive, one
of those moments that you're just like, sports are cool.
Yes.
Like,
that was pretty impressive.
I love to see that. So that was good stuff. So next hot topic, and I love this one. So last night, I was listening to an interview with a local high school football coach, and the subject that they got down to was a couple things. It kind of hit a couple hot topics. So, NIL in high school.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I was talking with Bryson about this earlier, and you're getting into that where you are putting a lot of stress on a child, really, to now have to perform to a certain degree, which there is that stress to some degree when they're trying to get into college. But it's not like, hey, you're getting paid to do this and you're not performing. And then the potential, like,
yeah, so the
there's
story
just so
became
much. Yeah.
Big in Alabama here in the last week and a half, because there's a sophomore at a local high school who got offered by Leaf Trading Cards, got offered an NIL deal $300,000 a year for 4 years.
Crazy.
To sign this contract with Leaf Trading Cards. So the details around it are, and I certainly don't know the details of the contract, I just know the dollar amounts, but because in Alabama we do not have NIL, for high school athletes,
right,
they would have had to move to Georgia or Florida.
Is it Texas another one, or there's one possibly. Other state I believe there, that has
I,
it
I thought I read there's like 30 states actually.
Oh wow, yeah, okay, last I heard it was like three
that have NIL availability for high school students. So so apparently they're staying, they're not moving. But you know, what do you if your child was offered $300,000, I mean, that's
life-changing money for a lot of people.
For a lot of people, that's more than most adults' combined dual-income parents make in a year. Would you move?
Yeah. I think, you know, it initially that sounds, oh my goodness, hey, yeah. But then I really think, you know, personally, if I kind of go through the whole...
That's $1.2 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But going through the whole, like, what will this burden be put on my child? That is that worth it? And, of course, the kid's probably going to be like, yeah, I'll do it. And there's probably not going to be a whole lot of argument from them. But, you're just getting into this level of, you know... But then on the other hand, you think about kids back in the 40s. They were working, you know, all the time when they were 10.
Right.
So it's like, do we not expect enough of our kids today? Exactly. Or are we expecting too much of our kids? I don't know.
You know. Yeah. So it really affects the dynamics of how – I mean, what about his teammates?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you got offered all this money.
Right.
I'm protecting you.
Right.
Like, I got nothing. Like, what? I don't know. I think there's team dynamics. But on the flip side, what if you're that kid who you are struggling? Maybe you're from a single parent household.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't, but you have poured your everything and you've got talent. Obviously, and somebody comes to you at 15, 16 years old and is like, hey, $300,000 a year for 4 years. I mean,
that is
life changing at that point. And I don't know, that changes the dynamics of your family.
Yeah.
And so I get that to a degree. How does that change the dynamics of small school football in the state of in whatever state they have NIL? Like, what are those are you going to get the same exposure? Are you going to get the same deal at, you know, Fife High School?
Right.
That you're getting, which Fife's a great team. Like, they win state championships, and but you're going to get the attention that you might get at 7A Thompson, who's playing on ESPN twice a year. What are kids going to be inclined to do? I heard a coach saying that it would help the small schools. Because it would bring money into the small schools.
I don't think that that's the case.
I think that was trying to pass off the, it's going to bring tons of transfers to my school.
Right,
And so, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
If I get that top athlete from every small school within 3 hours of where my high school is, and they're gonna move to my school, Yeah, I'm all for it then.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I guess I don't have a hard line stance right now for or against, but I definitely think it's something that you really have to outline some parameters for. Maybe a dollar limit for high school kids or something like that. I mean, at the college level, colleges are making millions on those athletes. So, that's not the same at high school. You're not making millions on. Right.
At least now, right. I mean, it is kind of opening that Pandora's box. And, you know, we still, I think there's a lot to be sorted out even at the college level with the NIL deals. It's just I think it's at that level, you're dealing with adults. They can make the decisions, and you might not be happy with some of the decisions they make, but if they want to play to make money, I see no problem with that at all. You know, when you start getting into the kids again, they're children. We're starting to kind of get into some of that area that, well, they can do some things, but then we don't approve of them doing other things. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's going to be an item that's, I'm sure, comes up in the news here again, and we'll have future opportunity to discuss that. It'll be, it'll be interesting to see what develops for sure. So to step into our next area of discussion, this is one of our, it's going to be a kind of a consistent, placeholder in our podcast. So, we call it the conspiracy zone. And so tonight we want to talk a little bit about aliens.
Uh-huh.
Are they real? I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
So, I think that I would say that there has to be something that people are experiencing to see. There's so many people that never had any, psychosis prior to, they just live normal lives. And then they have something that you can't explain. There's a lot of things that are just not really explainable. And, very well documented cases as well. I was trying to find the study, and I can't find the study, but there were two psychologists that did a study to look and see, to interview people that had claimed to have an abduction experience. And they were just looking at the numbers, and they saw that these people that had claimed to be abducted, there were more of those than clinically insane people. And the other aspect of it was that those people that claimed to have those experiences were not insane people. They had normal lives, had some experience that they relayed, and then proceeded with not having crazy experiences from then on. And so they went and interviewed, I want to say it was like 200 different people that had these abduction experiences around the world. And so it was actually a really interesting study, because these were not Christian psychologists. They interviewed all these people, and after interviewing them all, they came to the conclusion that they believe that the aliens, what we are calling aliens and what these people were calling aliens, were demonic entities. That being because the experience that they had was completely out of their control. Everything in each encounter, they all had very similar things. It was not in their control. The aliens had complete control of everything. They didn't like it. They didn't want it to be happening. And it ended when the aliens wanted it to end. The only factor that would change that course was if the person called out to Jesus. And then, according to these people, it ended immediately. Hmm. So, I think that it's interesting to look at. I don't believe that they're beings from other worlds. No. That kind of can go into another realm of discussion.
But, I mean, Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So, you know, I think people have experiences.
Very valid experiences, more than likely, but...
Yeah. For themselves, and
right.
You know, are there witnesses to those things? I tend to believe there's probably unidentified vessels traveling over our country, over our and I think that's probably maybe secretive things that we all know the government has secretive things they're working on, whether it's things that fly in the air or whatever. I tend to believe the unknown things in the air are known by somebody here on this earth.
I think that there's a lot of that, but I also like there's actually a movie that was done, and a lot of people have probably seen it, but it's Fire in the Sky. It was done in 1993, and it was talking about, I forget the guy's name, that he was a logger, and this was in the 70s, and the whole group of loggers were coming out of the woods, and all of them had the exact same experience, and the guy got taken into, like, hit with a bolt of light from this spaceship,
right?
And then they all took off, the rest of them, and there was five other guys, I think there were six of them total, and then he showed up. The guy was gone. The police thought that they had murdered him and left him in the woods. And then he shows up like a week later and just shows up at a gas station and didn't really recall anything.
We need him on the podcast.
Yes. Then he started having these flashbacks of what happened and like started getting little bits and pieces. But, you know, I think that there are some things that are... There are people that know what it is, and it's secretive. Mm-hmm. But then I also think that, you know, there's other people that talk about how those are alien crafts, that our government does have craft like that, but they got that technology from, which...
I mean, the Bible talks about the Nephilim and the sons of God and the daughters of men. And so, you know, those are... not well explained topics within the context of scripture.
Yeah.
But
that's, and I know this is not in the canon, but the Book of Enoch is an interesting book. And it talks about those things, and it talks about why that those angels, the fallen angels that were the Nephilim, that those fallen angels, that they taught men things that they were not intended to be taught. And so, you know, it's interesting. And again, that's not Bible, but it's an interesting book to look
interesting.
At.
Interesting. That's
yes.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's certainly a much larger topic.
And, there's a lot more with that.
And a lot of range we could go with that. But, for tonight, I think we covered quite a bit and appreciate talking. And anyone out there listening, it was good to have you with us. And, thanks, Josh, our producer. And we will sign off. We plan to drop a new episode on the podcast late Sunday, early Monday morning. And that will be a weekly thing here. We got a lot of...
Which is today.
Yeah, because which is today. That's right.
We're dropping it today.
Nice.
Sunday night, Monday morning.
That's right. So, coming at you right now. All right.
See you next time.
See you next time.